Honestly, from my own personal experience as a teenager using YouTube, like when I was a teenager, YouTube was in its prime. It's where you went for all your videos. We didn't have like TikTok, and Instagram wasn't completely massive then. Like, I feel like it's been happening for a long period of time, because while I was struggling, all the content that I was watching online was that, like, what I eat in a day, a calorie deficit, like those kind of things. And they can be seriously, seriously detrimental to young people and to their mental health. And they just kind of feel that need to lose weight, which I think is so toxic at the minute.
I suppose it's different on TikTok. They're, I suppose, coming at you at a much faster and larger volume of videos. Have you found people talking about that, or people have approached you about this before?
I have indeed. I actually worked alongside TikTok last year to work on their algorithm to protect young people and to find a way to monitor the eating disorder content so that it can be done in a creative, like a way that's fair to the creators, but also protects young people and protects who's actually viewing that kind of stuff. So I feel like it has a massive impact regardless of what you post. Like, I speak very openly and freely online about my experience with anorexia, but I do it in a way that I make sure there's no triggering content there, but always before the video starts, there is a disclaimer so that you can swipe on, because it can be very, very easy for any type of like video platform like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube to see you watch one of those videos, and then it opens up a full rabbit hole where you dive down, and it's very hard to escape out of that. And that's what TikTok was trying to do last year, and they have implemented a lot of really, really positive things to limit young people's exposure to eating disorder content.
Connor, you have spoke on your TikTok before about your experience with anorexia, and it's really important to see a young man speaking about it, because more often than not, the conversation leans towards girls and women, but it's very much an issue that affects men and young boys as well.
Yeah, 100%. Growing up, I thought I was different. I thought I was, like, in the nicest way, almost like a freak, because I was experiencing these things. And you always see it online, or any mention of anorexia comes alongside a female, like a woman, a girl, a teenage girl. Like, it's always linked to that. But since I opened up about my experience and opened up about how hard it was to be taken seriously as a young man with anorexia, the amount of young people that I've had message me being like, it's so nice to know that we're not alone and there's more representation. And it's very good to have more representation in the media at the minute. There's a TV show on Netflix called Heartstopper, and it's a book series as well, a graphic novel series for young adults. And it touches on anorexia so beautifully and eating disorders among young men. So it is becoming more normalized now, but it needs to kind of be there as an equal. Still, a lot of people still don't know that men can also be affected by eating disorders.
Yeah, because it can be seen as somebody being really into their fitness, maybe more so than for women. Connor, I suppose just finally, you're undertaking a fundraising efforts at the moment to support young men with eating disorders. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I actually did my fundraiser a couple of weeks ago. I'm still pushing online for any donations possible, because up in Derry in the north, the eating disorder charity Beat, who helped save my life, they rely solely on public funding, so they don't get any funding from the government. It's all fundraisers that kind of fund them. So I wanted to do something like, I owe my life to Beat. They helped me when I was turned down by the NHS up here. So I wanted to do something to say thanks, and to also share that young people get eating disorders. I've been there. You can get through it. I'm going to do something that I never thought I'd be able to do again, to help raise money. So I ended up walking 17 and a half miles to raise money for Beat, and it was one of the most beautiful days. I had friends and family join me for my walk, and I walked from my hometown into Derry and done the laps of the bridges to kind of represent my journey from where I grew up, where I am now, and then the two bridges in the town to represent any kind of relapses that I might have had in my past. And it was so therapeutic for me, because it was actually my 8-year anniversary of reaching out to the charity Beat for help. So it was my recovery anniversary that I did the walk, and it just meant a lot to me.